Hello, my name is John Sifferman, and you're in for a real treat because with me on the phone today is Coach Adam Steer, who is a national ski coach and is quickly becoming known as a top strength and conditioning coach worldwide. Now, I haven't known Adam for too long, but I'm very impressed with his knowledge of fitness and his ability to teach it to other people. Even with a little interaction we've shared over the internet, I have learned a lot about his unique perspectives on health and fitness. So you've made a great choice to take some time and listen to what he has to say today. So in case you don't know Adam yet, he's an excellent resource for the latest cutting-edge fitness information. And he's also a man who takes his own advice. He's not only been a strength and conditioning coach to elite athletes and others around the world, he has some very impressive athletic achievements himself. Adam has a few websites that he uses to help spread the word about the blend between ancient art and modern science when it comes to strength and health. I also wanted to let you know that sometime during this call, Adam will be offering you a free gift as thanks for listening in. So it's my pleasure to introduce Adam Steer. Welcome to the call, Adam.
Thank you, John. It's really nice of you to invite me to have a little chat with you. You've made me a little bit nervous with your introduction. Now I feel like I have a reputation to live up to, but we'll see what we can do. If you want me to introduce myself a little bit, I can tell you that, first of all, I think my my proudest title, I guess, is that I'm part of the head coaching staff of the Circular Strength Training System. And that means that I get to work directly as part of the founder, Scott Sonnen's team of coaches that spreads the word of health first fitness that that Mr. Sonnen pioneered. Here in Quebec City, I'm a trainer and coach through my company, Momentum Training. I train people in their homes and also at a couple different facilities that I'm affiliated with. I guess I'm also really fortunate in that my association with Circular Strength Training has allowed me to travel the world and spread the news in places like Singapore, in Australia, Washington, New York City, Philadelphia, giving club bell workshops, Prasara yoga workshops, different Circular Strength Training related content. And other than that, I'm also, I consider myself a blogger. I have a blog called Better's Better at bettersbetter.com. And I use that, again, to try to spread the CST health first message and any other kind of cutting edge, off the beaten track fitness information or health information that I run across.
Great. Well, let's dive into some of these questions here. I'd like to get a little bit on your background. So can you just tell us what caused you to get involved with the health and fitness industry? And can you give us the full spectrum of what your training involved prior to finding Scott Sonnen's Circular Strength Training Program?
Yeah, sure. Okay. It's going to be a little bit of a circuitous route, I guess. I'll start back at the beginning. When I was in my early teens, my grandfather, who I called Pop, he's my Pop, he got me a membership at his gym. And the reason he gave, in his words, was to keep me out of trouble. I don't know what kind of trouble he was thinking I was going to get myself in. I thought I was a pretty good kid, but I guess we all have our little tendencies to trouble. So anyway, he was trying to keep me out of trouble. And that's really the spark that got me interested, working out with Pop and seeing his passion for training. He'd always trained. He was in the Army and then the Navy. Always kept himself in shape and was kind of proud of that side of his personality. So that got the passion going. I was also someone who also, I always kind of had a knack for picking things up. You know, I could pick sports up quickly. I could pick skills up quickly. And I think, that kind of drove my fascination of, what's behind all the movements and things that I enjoyed doing so much. And that led me into kind of a love for sports as well. When I was a teenager, I used to love basketball particularly. I mean, if I could have gone and played in the NBA, I would have done that. But if you've never met me, I'm 5'6", so I was quickly, disillusioned to ever playing pro basketball. But I did kind of focus that passion into a couple other sports. Probably my main sport that I was most competitive at was laser class sailing. That's an Olympic class sailboat, one-man dinghy, and I traveled all over North America on the international circuit doing that as part of the provincial sailing team in Nova Scotia, where I'm from. And my winter sport ended up being alpine skiing, which is kind of strange for Nova Scotia because we don't have huge mountains. But the little mountains that we do have are, you know, enough to really develop a passion. And I developed a passion for skiing, and that later became a career. I've been teaching and coaching alpine skiing full time since I was 18 years old. Taught in Canada, I've coached in the U.S., I've gone to New Zealand, so that really became kind of the lodestone, the guiding path of my career, and, you know, through all that, I just always had a passion for studying the methods and the madness and the principles behind strength and conditioning, any kind of training information I was always thirsty for. And that kind of led into an opportunity working with ski teams of being able to work with the athletes on those teams on their strength and conditioning. So I was kind of offered that opportunity. And, you know, that grew into doing my national coaching certification program levels here in Canada. It's kind of like a national cross sport, exercise theory program. And I worked my way all the way up to level 3 of the NCCP. And then I went and I did my NSCA certified personal trainer certification as well, just kind of as an extra little certification. At the time, I didn't really need it. I was just working with the athletes on the teams. I didn't, you know, officially need any extra kind of certification, but I wanted to have it. And just working with those athletes and continuing to train for myself, I also kind of shot off and did a lot of experimentation with different S&C coaches that I was drawn to. There's one guy in particular up here in Canada. He actually lives in Quebec City now, named Christian Thibodeau.
I know Christian.
Yeah, he's awesome, and he's I've talked to him a few times, and he's just a real thinker. You know, he really thinks about what he's doing. He experiments with a lot of stuff. He talks to everybody. He writes everything down, and he's got a couple really interesting books. If you don't know Christian's work, do a Google search, Christian Thibodeau, and pick up. I don't know if I have his book. It's around here somewhere, but I think that it's Methods and Principles of Modern Strength Training or something like that. If you want to read something interesting on the, you know, conventional training front, but that's on the fringes of it, pick that up because it's really interesting. So, like, you know, I sought out things like that and tested it on myself, tested it on athletes, Mike Boyle stuff, Mark Verstegen stuff, Charles Poliquin, Paul Check. I just, anything that I could get my hands on that seemed interesting and a little bit off the beaten track, I went out and I got it and I studied it. And you know, that kind of passion for looking for the new thing, the better thing all the time, eventually led me to circular strength training, which has become, you know, my real passion and the thing that's allowed me to express myself the most as a coach. So it's a little bit circuitous, and there's more in there that I could talk about, but I mean, that's the general path that I've taken to get to where I am right now.
Oh, that was great. I mean, it sounds like you took a similar path to the one I did, and anyone who's really seeking to maximize their potential in athletics or just, you know, real life fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool part is that you've sort of not found a conclusion, but you've been led to circular strength training, and that's arguably the most impactful thing that you've ever experienced when it comes to strength training.
Yeah. Well, the thing about CST is Coach Sonnen is, I don't know, I guess the word gets thrown around a lot, but I think he's a genius, and he's always on the lookout for anything better. If it works better, he'll take it and he'll absorb it into the system. So, you know, I've found something that I think is going to be able to continue to help me grow for a very long time. So, I think that, as you say, I think I've found the definitive path. You know, not the definitive answer because it's never there, but I think we're on the definitive path.
Awesome. All right, well, there's three wings of circular strength training, and I've got questions about all three. Could we start by talking about joint mobility training? And I'd like you to talk about it from the perspective of why would a skier be interested in joint mobility, but also why would a non-athlete be interested, but someone who's interested in, you know, health and fitness?
Mm-hmm.
Why would they be interested in joint mobility?
Well, I think yeah, I kind of have to give the same answer for both, really. I mean, I think anyone doing anything should be or even has to be interested in joint mobility to pick up something that Scott Sunnan often says, you're as old as your connective tissue. And, you know, what it comes down to, what he means by that is you can choose to have pliable, rubbery, lubricated joints and connective tissue, or you can choose to have dry, leathery, and brittle connective tissue. And there are a couple factors that are going to influence which one of those it's going to be. A big part of it is your diet, and then the other part of it is your movement. And when it comes to movement, the key to keeping that pliable, rubbery, and lubricated joint and connective tissue condition is to decompress the joints, so to pull them apart so that they can be washed with the, you know, the nutrition, the synovial fluid, the ground substance that keeps them healthy, wash out the toxins, also polish the surfaces. And then the other half of that equation, when we talk about interflow joint mobility, especially because of the way the system is put together and the way Coach Sunnan has discovered it and then organized it, is not only are you taking care of the health of your joints and your connective tissue, you are also kind of reclaiming your innate or inherent natural movement patterns that we often lose as we get older. You know, it's incredible for me to watch someone, a new client or a new student, go through just very, very basic joint mobility movements and discover that they have lost the ability to elicit the muscles that move the body in a certain direction. Something that looks very simple, they can't figure out how to do at first. And, you know, I liken it to being able to wiggle your ears. Like, everyone has those muscles, but not everyone knows how to elicit those muscles to make the ear move, right? And, you know, when I watch someone move before they start a course of interflow joint mobility patterns, and then afterwards, the difference is incredible. So it's for, you know, whether you're an athlete, whether you're, you know, just Mr. Joe sitting at a desk all day, it comes down to the same thing. A, you have to decompress your joints, you have to wash them with synovial fluid, you have to polish the surfaces, and B, you have to regain those natural movement patterns that we lose because we have a very sedentary lifestyle.
That's great, and that's the kind of information that people need to hear, because there's not much emphasis placed on sort of active recovery methods when it comes to fitness. We think we just got to go, you know, lift more weights or whatever. But, you know, it really everything depends on how you're able to move and that movement quality.
Yeah, and, I say this all the time, and I really believe it, is recovery is part of your training. It's not something you do to compensate for your training. You have to program recovery into the overall program as part of the training package and not something that's ancillary or extra. And I just thought of this. Depending on when people get to listen to this, I'm actually trying to give away an Interflow DVD pack and a set of mini club bells, which is, you know, it's a whole joint mobility, joint health package. And I'm doing it through Twitter if I can get enough followers. And I think I've got another week or so to do it. So if you want to be able to win that package, you go to twittersteer.com and just follow me. And if I get to 1,000 followers, I'm going to give it away at the beginning of March.
All right.
And if not,
like
I'll keep
plan.
It. And if not,
I
I'll keep
the flow
them.
And
Yeah.
Three mini club bells. So don't let Adam keep these mini club bells because you will want them.
Exactly.
All right. Well, speaking of club bells, the next question is about club bells, and I'd really like to spend some time talking about them because you are a club bell athlete and you've got some pretty neat accomplishments under your belt. So could you just tell us why you choose the club bell as your strength training tool of choice?
Sure. I could list a whole slew of different benefits, but I think I'll concentrate on telling you the one thing that I think makes club bell stand out head and shoulders above any other tool, as far as I'm concerned, and that's their ability to create instability on the open end of a chain. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Maybe I'll explain it through the example of a skier. There's this whole misconception in skiing that you have to create unstable surfaces, right? And I think part of it I blame on the whole functional training craze. You know, wobble boards and all this stuff became really popular. And everyone decided, okay, well, if you want to train a skier, you got to train them on an upside-down Bosu ball. You got to train them on a wobble board. You have to create instability under the feet. And, you know, to a small extent, that might be beneficial. But what you have to realize is a skier is standing on a stable platform 95% of the time. And that platform is created from the interface of the ski edges with the snow, and that creates a very, very stable surface. So their feet are probably one of the most stable things going. But from there up, you have all these forces pulling in all kinds of different directions, and those forces aren't constant. They're changing as the arc intensifies throughout the turn. So the best thing you can do for a skier is to create instability from the other end. So you've got stable feet, you're creating instability from the hand in, right? So swinging a club bell is like the perfect kind of instability to train a skier. So you're training muscles, okay? You're training movement patterns, but you're also creating a situation where the skier is constantly shifting their weight forward and back or side to side to compensate for the fact that that club bell head is moving in space. So I think that is, for me, the main benefit of a club bell. And I think that it's a benefit that, I mean, I used a skier as the example here, but it I think is applicable to a lot of different sports where, you know, when you go to make a cut, for example, in a field sport, you are planting your foot and you're creating a very stable surface under your foot, but there are forces pulling on your body from the top down or the middle out that you have to be able to deal with. So I think that's probably the big beauty of the club bell, is that its ability to do that. And then, you know, again, I could list a whole pile of benefits of the club bell, but, you know, you can go and you can read a book like The Big Book of Club Bell Training, and you'll see all this. But that's kind of my own perspective on it. And the other thing is, if you're training at home and you only have a budget for, you know, one or two small pieces of equipment, the club bell is awesome because you can swing it, but you can also press it. You can curl it. You can hook it up to a stretch band and hook it around your waist to do chin-ups with. I mean, you can do almost anything with a club bell, whereas if you buy a dumbbell, you can do a lot of the more grinding, conventional stuff with it, but it's more limited when you come to, you know, start doing things like swinging it and whatnot. So I think bang for buck, if you've got a home gym, club bell is probably also, you know, one of the most useful tools that you can own.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Now, you kind of answered this before, but what type of athlete or trainee is the club bell best suited for? And what type of training goals does club bell training cater to?
Okay, well, I mean, first of all, I think probably any athlete can benefit from a club bell. The trick is in looking at the skills involved in the sport, looking at the movement patterns involved in the sport, and then picking what kind of club bell exercises would be applicable for that athlete. And it's just like using any tool. You have to use the right, use it in the right way. I think probably the athletes that are going to benefit the most from it, I would start with any sport that involves open skills or unpredictability. Open skilled sport is basically any sport where the environment is changing a lot, conditions are changing a lot around the player, around the athlete. So anything like, again, coming back to skiing, my sport, sailing, team sports on a field where, you know, if the field of play is never perfectly flat, the players are never all going to be in the same configuration, same place, the ball's never going to have the same spin. So anything where there's a lot of variability, a lot of open skills involved in the sport, I think club bells are going to be very applicable because they create a certain level of chaos and a certain level of unpredictability for a training tool. Any sports that involve extreme ranges at the shoulder, like fighters, throwers, swimmers, gymnasts, climbers, they're going to obviously benefit from the club bell because, you know, once you gain or regain mobility and range of motion through things like Interflow, you're going to have to somehow reintegrate strength with that range of motion. You don't want to just leave that new open range of motion without strengthening it. And the club bell is one of the best ways to get in there and strengthen that new range of motion. So it's excellent for all those kinds of athletes. And then I'd say the final category of, you know, really targeted a benefit from a club bell would be any kind of athlete in a sport that involves rotational core strength and stability. I work with a few golfers, and we've seen, you know, really a lot of benefit through using the club bell because the thing with the club bell is you can stimulate a movement pattern or stimulate, trains of muscle and connective tissue without simulating the actual sport skill. And that's the big thing with training. You don't want to come too close to the sport skill. You don't want to brush the nerve of the sport skill with your training because you can actually compete with the movement pattern of the sport skill itself in your training. So you can actually diminish the performance of the athlete if you come too close to the actual skill itself. So the club bell's been great for my golfers. And I mentioned this to you before, John, like earlier, but I had the great honor of training Marc Messier last week. And he, as a hockey player, was really impressed with the potential of functional carryover for a hockey player. As much for shooting skills, which involve that kind of same rotational strength and stability as a golfer, but also, you know, a hockey player is constantly turning, looking, getting hit at strange angles, and that core strength in the rotational plane is really important for them. So I think golfers, hockey players, again, are going to be another category of athletes that would benefit from club bell training.
Very cool, very cool. Now, what about people who aren't athletes? You know, maybe they're just interested in general fitness. Maybe they want to lose some fat, build some muscle. I mean, I'm sure the club bell can be used, but do you have anything specific to say about that?
Well, I mean, the club bell for somebody like that, again, is going to be one of my tools of choice. And I think, again, this could be a really long answer, but I'll just give a short one. One of the best things you can do with club bells for somebody like that is to use them in a variety of circuit training routines. So you can put them together in different ways with bodyweight exercises, with kettlebell exercises, so that you can hit all the different degrees of freedom. And Coach Sundin came up with this concept of degrees of freedom. There's 6 degrees of freedom, right? So you have basically 3 axes of movement. You have up and down, side to side, and front to back, and you can move along those axes or you can rotate around them. And by using club bells, bodyweight exercises, and other tools in a circuit, you can hit all those different degrees of freedom, get a really great training effect as far as, you know, cardiovascular and muscular development goes, but also get a really good carryover into quality of movement and functionality of movement at the same time. So this is a big thing for me when I'm training anybody, like whether it's an athlete or just, you know, general fitness client, is I don't want to just have my client do more and more and more. I want my client to do more and better, right? So with every step up the progression ladder, I'm not just putting on more weight, putting on more time, putting on more frequency. I'm also adding sophistication to the level of movement quality that they're doing. So I'll bump the exercise up to something a little bit more sophisticated, or I'll add another degree of freedom, or I'll have them, you know, move their body in space a little bit differently. And the club bell, because it's open-ended, allows me to target a lot more, complex or sophisticated movement patterns than a dumbbell or a barbell would, for example.
Okay.
Was that a very convoluted way of answering that?
Oh, that was great. That's perfect. All right, now, you've got some pretty cool accomplishments with club bell training. I know you've got a very good trial by fire time. Could you just tell us a little bit about what you've done with club bells? Maybe you've made some body composition changes. You know, what have you used the club bell to accomplish?
Well, for me, the thing I use the club bell for the most right now is, again, putting it into circuits. I'm really interested in experimenting with all kinds of different circuits based on Coach Sonnen's TacFit protocols. So I've been playing around with that a lot. When I first started out with club bells, I did make some pretty interesting body comp changes, and mostly changes in like density of muscle. You know, I didn't change weight that much, but my numbers changed a lot as far as dropping fat mass and gaining lean mass. And I find that with club bells, you know, you can build a very kind of wiry strength with them. You can surprise people with how strong you are with regards to how much muscle you look like you have on you. So I found that kind of interesting with club bells. And then the other thing I've done with club bells, which I kind of like, is I've indulged in my kind of tendency to be a little bit compulsive and obsessive. And I've done things like, set some records with different club bells. So you mentioned the trial by fire. I've got the current record right now with the trial by fire. If you don't know what the trial by fire is, you can visit my website, coachsteer.com, and there'll be links to, you'll find the trial by fire. You can go and see what it is. But, I've got the best time for that right now. But I've also done things with my 15-pound club bells. I've done, for example, 800 straight swipes without stopping. And that takes something like 45 minutes. And a swipe is a combination of simple swings with two club bells and an arm cast where you're dumping the weight in behind your back. So I've done that for 800 straight, and then I'm just shy of 500 mils per arm continuous without stopping as well. So I kind of like to launch into extreme challenges like that with the club bells. I find it's kind of an interesting thing to do with them as well.
Yeah, and I just want to say that you are either an animal or a freak for being able to do 800 continuous swipes.
You may not believe this, but it's not the first time that I've heard that.
that's good to hear. All right. Well, let's say somebody wanted to learn more about club bell training. What should they do to start? I know you've got a lot of resources yourself. Where would you point them?
Okay. Well, the easiest address to remember, if you want to go and look on the internet, is clubbell.ca. So club bell, you spell with two B's, clubbell.ca, and that CA is because I'm in Canada, right? So it's clubbell.ca, and there you'll find, that's kind of a hub. You'll find all kinds of stuff. You'll find videos. You'll find my take on what club bells are all about. You'll find a link to... this is interesting, actually. You'll find a link to my newsletter, and if you sign up for my newsletter, you get a bunch of free stuff, and this is what you were mentioning earlier. Just sign up for that newsletter. You'll get my Club Bells 101 manifesto, which will give you tons of information on club bell training, how to get started, why you should get started, what it's good for, and also a little tutorial on the basic clubhouse swing, which is kind of the, I guess, the core exercise for clubhouse swinging. It demonstrates every single component of clubbell training in one exercise. So you'll get that. You'll also get a report I did on my favorite bodyweight exercise, which is the quad squat. I've got interviews with Coach Sonnen. I've got interviews with other RMX head coaches. I've got an interview with Brad Pilon about intermittent fasting. So you find tons and tons of information if you sign up for my newsletter. And let's see, on that clubbell.ca page, you'll also find a link to a blog post I did, which is a compilation of every single YouTube video on clubbell training that is worth looking at. And our friend John Sifferman's on there as well. So if you want to see John swing clubbells, then you can go there.
And I know you all want to see that.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's keep moving through these questions. This is awesome. Are there any other recommended strength training methods or tools that you use or recommend? I know you mentioned kettlebells earlier.
Yeah, I actually have tons of toys in my gym that supplement my clubbell habit. Like you said, I've got my kettlebells. I'm a proponent of the American Kettlebell Club type training, so the soft style is what people call it. I use the competition grade kettlebells. I find for me that's the natural way that I want to move with kettlebells, and that the competition style bells just seem to fit anatomically better than the other ones. But you know, I know a lot of people train with the other ones as well, and they're cool. I got my sandbag. Use my sandbag a lot. If you go on YouTube, you'll see a video called Sandbag in 6 Degrees that I did, which kind of gives you an idea of how I like to train with sandbags. I got my whole line of jump stretch bands, which I've found about a gazillion and one uses for, especially with club bells. I've found some really neat ways to combine club bells and stretch bands. So I'll come out with something eventually and show you guys all that stuff. Yeah. My gymnastics rings are a staple. I use them all the time. I got my chin-up bar. Got my plyo box, which is a homemade thing, 16-inch. You don't have to have anything fancy, but you should have some kind of box that you can be jumping off of and using as a platform. Other just little extra goodies. I've had a slide board for ages, being a skier and a skater and a hockey player. I got my slide board. I got a couple different sizes of physio balls. I got my heavy bag, my foam rollers. What else I got? I don't know. I got a bunch of other little stuff too. But that's the basics. That's what my gym looks like.
All right. Well, it sounds like you're drawing from as many of the best tools and resources as you can.
Yeah. Well,
very cool.
My wife just thinks I'm trying to spend as much money as I can, but.
Yeah, my wife thinks the same thing about me.
Hmm.
Well, lots of cool ideas in there in case you haven't tried out sandbags or kettlebells. Lots of fun things to use.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, I'd like to talk briefly about bodyweight training. I'm hoping in the future I could catch you again and just do a whole call just about bodyweight training.
Yeah, of course.
But it's becoming a real popular style of exercise quickly. Could you just go over what you think are some of the pros and cons of training with your body weight only?
Yeah, sure. To be honest, I don't see a lot of cons. Like I don't see a lot of downside to body weight training. Definitely, you know, if you're talking about being able to achieve progressive overload, it requires a lot more imagination with body weight training, but it's definitely possible. Obviously, in certain angles and certain movements, it can be a little bit harder to target limit strength with bodyweight training. But again, with a little bit of imagination, you can get at it. You know that, and for 90% of the people, if you look at them, you know, doing a pistol squat or a one-arm screwing press or something like that, they're going to be pretty close, if not over their one rep max. So, I mean, there are some downfalls that you can work around, but I think, you know, as a methodology, it's pretty complete. You know, you can do a lot with just the weight of your own body. And a lot of people, I think, maybe should be doing a little bit more with the weight of their own body. As far as pros go, biggest one, portability. You can take it anywhere. I've got a lot of clients that travel for business or for competition, like athletes. They can take their training with them wherever they go. I often will set clients up with kind of a complementary body weight program. So they've got their program that they're doing in the gym, and then they'll have their portable program that they take with them. If you're looking for a cheap or almost free alternative, you know, body weight training, you take your gym with you wherever you go. So, you know, it doesn't take a lot of investment in money, maybe some resources like the Body Weight Exercise Revolution ebook, little plug there, or something like FlowFit. You know, FlowFit is probably the most accessible bodyweight program ever developed, and that's by Coach Scott Sonnen. So, I mean, it's free. It's basically free. You can buy some rings. You can buy a chin-up bar, stuff like that, but it costs very little. I've mentioned this earlier with the club bells, but also with bodyweight training, it's quite easy to take the body through all 6 degrees of freedom. So you're moving in every direction around every axis. It really is, you know, the ultimate way to train and test your relative strength, which is basically your ability to manipulate your own body in space. You know, how strong are you relative to your body weight, and how skilled are you at handling that body weight? So that's your relative strength. Obviously, that's, you know, one of the main targets of bodyweight training. There's a huge timing and coordination factor involved with bodyweight training, especially if you do it according to the way that that Ryan and I set it up in the Bodyweight Exercise Revolution. Every step along the way, your movements, again, aren't just getting heavier or harder, they're also getting more sophisticated, more coordinated. So you're developing quality of movement at the same time as quantity. And I find there's also a lot more transferability from training to sport or to life. So the movements that you're doing in bodyweight training are, I think, reflect a lot better what you're going to be doing in real life than, say, a bench press. So again, it comes back to every tool has its job. So I think a bench press is great for developing your limit strength or developing, you know, hypertrophy or whatever you can do with a bench press. But then take that and apply it in a different way through a bodyweight exercise like something we call a quad squat or a screwing press, which is going to transfer or kind of translate that strength into something that's more functional and more usable in the real world.
All right. Well, that was a fantastic answer. Now, kind of tied into bodyweight training, how do you use Prasara Yoga to help you and your clients? Kind of a different
sure.
loop.
Yeah, it's kind of the softer side of bodyweight training. What I do, you know, assuming that, you know, your listeners know what Prasara Yoga is, and if not, they can, again, go to my site, coachsteer.com, follow the link to the Squidoo page on Prasara Yoga, and you'll find out everything you want to know about Prasara Yoga. But the way I look at Prasara with my clients, for most of my clients, is I call it the give them what they want, slip in what they need approach. So I will give them the kind of training that they're expecting, you know, the hard stuff, the, you know, working them, making them sweat, and then I feed in bits and pieces of the Prasara Yoga. Generally, I just call it stretching. They don't need to know anything more than that. And then I just slowly get them hooked on it, and then I start unveiling the methods behind the madness. And the methods behind the madness are basically revolving around rebalancing the, you know, the whole system of muscle and connective tissue, or the myofascia that surrounds and encompasses the entire body. And what we're looking to do with the Prasara Yoga is to rebalance the short and the tight and the loose and the long. Okay, so often, I mean, you take and the easiest example is around the shoulders, right? Most people are at keyboards all day, so the shoulders come forward, the pec minor gets really tight, so the front gets really tight, and then the back, you know, around the shoulder blade gets really long and loose. So we got tight and short on one side, long and loose on the other, and then Prasara Yoga helps tighten and shorten the long and loose stuff and lengthen and loosen the tight and short stuff. I mean, that's the a very, very simple way of looking at it. And then the other side of Prasara Yoga that I've found a lot of benefit from with my clients is the whole fun, skill-building, confidence-boosting side. And I've got 40- and 50-year-old women that are, you know, doing what, you know, they basically think of as somersaults. You know, they're doing the old body flow movements from Coach Sun and, you know, they're rolling around on the mats, flipping around, doing all kinds of things they haven't done since they were 15 years old. And they're having a ball, they're laughing, they're screeching, but they're, you know, they're building their movement patterns and they're building their movement confidence, which is going to give them benefits in all the rest of their training. So just as an overall package, it's just, it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of functional benefit at the same time of rebalancing the body. So, I mean, that's my basic approach. Give them what they want and slip in a little bit of what they need.
All right. Well, would you find it easier, I guess, with yourself to follow along with a guided Prasara yoga routine, maybe from some of the DVDs that are available, or to make your own routine using your intuition? And what would be the, I guess, the benefits of either one of those?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I would say right now in my training, it's half and half. I'm usually working on a flow from either Coach Sonnen or Coach Hurst at any given time. At the same time, I'm working on one of my own flows that I've put together specifically for whatever training cycle I'm in. And then I'll also usually spend some time just, I guess you could say, goofing around and playing with the different movements, letting them chain together according to, you know, just how I feel that day. You know, I'm down on the mat and, you know, I'm in this pose. Where do I feel like going next? Right now, for me, it's a combination of all three. I think I'll always be working on one prepackaged flow from Coach Sonnen or Coach Hurst just because the depth of what those two men have put together in their programs is so kind of limitless that I think that I could study those for a lifetime and still be picking little bits and pieces out of them years from now. So I think that's always going to be a staple. I enjoy the creative side of training so much that when I put together a program, I want to also, you know, study that program, look at the compensations that are going to occur because of that program, you know, because we always overcompensate. The body will overcompensate for anything we do. So I'll put together a program specifically to deal with, the training effect that I'm engendering through the training program that I've put together. And then it's just fun to just play around a little bit. But the caveat there is I do put together my own stuff and I do play around on the mat and just, you know, see where things take me. But before I did that, before I started playing around, before I started doing my own stuff, I probably spent hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of hours doing Coach Sonnen stuff. And then once I got through all Coach Sonnen stuff, doing Coach Hurst's stuff, and that, you know, there's a whole kind of process of going through, the rote repetition that leads to practice with understanding, and then that leads to practice with flow, and then that leads to the ability to create your own routines. And I don't think it's very effective to try to shortcut that process. I think you should practice the stuff that's been done by somebody that, you know, spent a lot of time thinking about it and figuring it out and practicing it for themselves. And then once you absorb that material, then the rest becomes, you know, second nature. It's like speaking, you know, trying to do this stuff to short circuit the process and start putting your own stuff together right away. It's like trying to talk without having any vocabulary. You know, you have to learn the words first. You have to learn the structure of how a sentence is put together, and then you can start talking. And you know, it doesn't do any good to start putting complex sentences together if you haven't learned the words of the language yet. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, and I think that's very wise advice when it comes to any fitness program,
mm-hmm.
whether it's yoga or Lavelle's.
Yeah,
And I'm glad to know I'm not the only one who rolls around on the floor regularly.
Yeah.
All right. Let's let's talk about how to put this together, you know, for you know, the everyday person. What would you what would the three wings of circular strength training look like in a total fitness program? You know, whether it's, you know, maybe you could distinguish if it's for an athlete or for a non-athlete, if at all.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty broad question. Just like, you know, like any tool or any approach or any method, it's going to be very individualized. Every person is going to have, you know, their own needs, and we're going to put together programs according to those needs. But I think you can look at it in a general sense as you can look at it in a general sense as you know, analyzing two big factors. One, you want to look at the trainee. You know, where are they in their training life? What, you know, what's their current level of conditioning? What's their current level of coordination? What's their background in sports, movement, whatever? What's their current strength? And then also look at what they want to do with their training. You know, is it for a sport? If it is, what are the movements in that sport? What are the movement patterns? What are the requirements? What are the energy systems that are used? Like, you know, does it take, is it a 1 hour sailing race? Is it, you know, 5 minute rounds in a MMA fight? You know, what are they doing? What kind of energy do they need to do their sport? Or, you know, is it just daily life? Do they want to be able to get down and play with the kids without having knee pain? You know, do they want to be able to reach up and pick something off a high shelf without getting back pain? So, you know, you look at the person, you look at the activities that they're targeting, and then you have to design a program that will give them a training effect. You know, a training effect according to whatever it is you've seen in what I call the needs analysis, which is looking at the person and the activities. And, you know, that training effect, it can come from very kind of targeted isolation exercises to you know, elicit better movement patterns. It can come from conditioning using club bells and kettlebells. It can come from more conventional strength training, which then filters into something more open-ended like club bells. It, you know, that the possibilities are endless, but on one end of the spectrum, you have to create a training effect with whatever the appropriate tools are, with whatever the appropriate exercises are, with whatever the appropriate protocols are. And then the other half of the equation is looking at that training effect, looking at that program you've put together, looking at that person and what they arrive at the game with. You know, do they have any pre-existing conditions? And programming the other side of your training program, which is recovery. Okay, so you've got training effect and you've got recovery. You've looked at your person, you've looked at your sport, you've looked at the preconditions. How are you going to address getting your trainee ready for their next training session through joint mobility, through Prasara yoga type things? How are you going to address rebalancing them structurally according to whatever conditions they're bringing in with them already and according to whatever results of training you're going to have? You know, if you're going to have to do a lot of bench pressing, you're going to have to compensate for that somewhere, right? You're going to have to open up the chest and strengthen the back, right? So that's part of your recovery that has to be programmed into the overall training program. So, I mean, if you take a bird's eye view, I think that the main thing to remember is you've got your training effect, which can come from club bells, bodyweight exercise, sandbags, conventional strength training, whatever, and then you've got your recovery, which is going to come mainly from your interflow joint health and mobility and your Prasara yoga.
Awesome. Now talking about training programs, I'd love for you to explain the 4x7 format for structuring a training program.
Sure. So the rabbit hole is pretty deep on this one. I could talk about it for a long time, but I'll try to give you the Coles notes. 4x7 is a formula which was put together. It's a formula for what I call micro periodization, which was put together by Coach Scott Sonnen. I'll just tell you a little bit about the background of how he came up with it. Coach is very, very meticulous. I think that he learned that in kind of overcoming some of the the hurdles that he's had in his life. And you know, he's got a very specific way that he learns knowledge and skills, and he's applied that to his own training and to the training of his athletes, and he's logged everything very, very meticulously. And in going back over those logs and studying the patterns, he noticed that the most effective performance progress almost always followed the same wave of different intensities. And it ended up that going in a four-day wave from no intensity to low intensity to moderate intensity to high intensity garnered the best results. That's when I talk about micro periodization, that's what I mean, is that four-day cycle, that little micro cycle period is kind of the key to this whole program. And the reason it's 4x7 is that 4-day cycle repeats 7 times for the ultimate kind of progress in a larger cycle. And now I can tell you in my own experience and the experience I've had training clients that if you train in this way, you can hit personal records, PRs, on almost every single high day, so every fourth day over those whole 28 days. So, I mean, you can imagine, if you can PR 7 times in 28 days, that's some pretty impressive progress as far as your performance goes. So, and I think the reason that you can do that is, again, going back to the whole idea of you've got two things, training effect and recovery, they're almost perfectly balanced in the 4x7 format. You know, you've got your no intensity, which is basically your interflow joint health and mobility, and then you're moving on to low intensity, which is pretty much built around your Prasara yoga, so rebalancing the myofascial system. And then you ramp up a little bit again to moderate intensity, and that leads you into or primes the body for that big high-intensity day and allows you to perform instead of going into it cold. And then so you can give it your all on that day, and then, boom, you go back to no intensity. And by the time you get back to that fourth day again, that high-intensity day, you're just raring to go. You know, you're not dragging yourself into the gym. You're almost running into the gym. You're looking forward to it all day. So the progress that I've had using the 4x7 has just been astounding. I'll give you this example. Recently, I did 2 back-to-back 4x7, so 56 days, geared around the swipe movement with a bruiser clubbell. A bruiser clubbell is a 45-pound clubbell. When I started the cycle, I could do 1 swipe. Okay, and if you've ever done a swipe with a bruiser clubbell, you'll know that it's, you know, just doing 1 is kind of a feat. By the end of the 56 days, I did 10. So I went from 1 to 10 in the 56 days, and that's, you know, 1,000% performance increase in a, you know, pretty short period of time. So you can kind of see the power of using that kind of an approach.
Oh yeah, that's phenomenal progress, and I can attest to doing 1 swipe with the bruiser being a feat, one that I have not yet accomplished, but am on my way.
Well, yeah, I got to tell you, like the first one, it's half mental and half physical.
Yeah, you gotta commit to it before you even grab it.
Yeah,
definitely. All right. Well, that was a great explanation of the 4x7. What about for people who, you know, they might have a really hectic schedule and following a strict 4-day cycle just isn't feasible? Is there a next best alternative that you would recommend?
Yeah, it's you know, again, it's all just about managing the intensity, balancing the training effect with the recovery. And in fact, I would actually recommend that most people do not start off with a 4x7, just because I've experimented both ways. I've started clients off with 4x7s, and I've started them off with 7-day cycles, you know, basically our you know, our conventional week cycle. And I've had more adherence with beginners using, you know, the days of the week cycle. Most people just psychologically aren't ready to leap into a 4x7 because, you know, every Wednesday you're not going to have the same kind of training session if you're doing a 4x7, you know what I mean? Whereas, you know, on a 7-day cycle, you know every Wednesday is going to be your high-intensity day, for example. And then once I get people started on that and then I do a 4x7 with them, then they just take off because then they're ready for it. But for, you know, for example, someone just starting off, I would do something maybe like this. You know, start on Sunday with a moderate intensity day, moderate intensity strength training. Sunday moderate intensity. The next day, Monday, you do a high intensity training session, so some kind of metabolic conditioning, something really going to get their breathing, their cardiovascular system going. Drop down to a no intensity day on Tuesday, just into flow. Do some Prasara yoga on Wednesday, so low intensity. Work up to moderate strength and training again the next day. The next day, drop down to no intensity, and then you finish on Saturday with another day of yoga, low intensity, to lead you back into your moderate day on Sunday. So that's someone just starting off. So that's more skewed. Like if you go back and look at that again, you've got two moderate days, you've got one high day, two no days, and two low days. So that's more skewed towards recovery than training effect. So that would be more for someone starting out. And then the more kind of training experience you get, the more you can skew that towards training effect and then balance it out with extra recovery. You know, sometimes you can do two-a-days. You can do interflow in the morning, your high-intensity training in the afternoon, a little bit of Prasara yoga in the evening. You know, you can double it up that way as well. So you can organize it however you want as long as your recovery is a built-in part of your training and it compensates for your training effect.
Yeah, that is great advice, and that 7-day split is worth its weight in gold. For anyone who is just looking to who has a schedule that allows them to spend time exercising every day, they're just looking for that extra, 10% performance, or who knows, extra 100% performance. Adam achieving amazing results with the swipes with the bruiser. All right, well, we've been going for about an hour now.
Really?
Yes, we
see,
have.
I've done these interviews with other people, and it always goes fast. But I've never been on this end on the phone doing an interview. So it goes quickly, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does. And time flies when you're having fun. And this was a really good interview. There's a lot of great information. So thank you very much for.
Right, it's my pleasure.
Where could our? I know you mentioned some of your sites before, but where could our listeners find some more information about you? Could you just mention your websites again?
Sure. The blog, which I really enjoy doing and I really recommend everyone sign up for in their readers, get it straight in your reader, is bettersbetter.com. So there's no I in the between better and better. It's BETTERSBETTER, bettersbetter.com. You can find my newsletter there. There's a sign-up form for my newsletter that goes out at least every week. And I just kind of give you a heads up of what's going on, what I've learned that week, what's been notable, what you should be reading, things like that. Just keep you up to date on the Health First paradigm, CST, what's going on in the industry. If you frequent the RMAX forums, rmaxinternational.com. I'm often on there answering questions. My homepage, which needs a little love, but where you can find a lot of links and information and YouTube videos and stuff like that, is coachsteer.com. And then let's see, where else should you go? Follow me on Twitter, please. Twittersteer.com. And Club Bell.
How about your body weight training?
Yes, bodyweightexercisesrevolution.com. And again, you can find on all of the other pages, you'll see the book. You'll see a little image of the book. You click on that, and it'll go to the Bodyweight Exercise Revolution page. And clubbell.ca for any Club Bell information. And there's a ton more, but I mean, you'll be able to follow links through all that, and you'll find the other stuff.
All right. Well, you're offering a lot of great information, really paying it forward. You've got a heart of gold, just helping people find this health-first fitness mentality.
Well, I mean, it's done wonders for me. A few years ago, I looked pretty good, felt pretty, strong, but couldn't raise my arm up over my head, couldn't sit on the floor with my back up straight. I was so stiff. So, I mean, it's totally changed my physical reality, and I hope that I'm going to be able to get the message out and get more people involved, more people aware of the fact that there's something else out there than the mainstream information that they're getting.
Awesome. Well, one last question. Do you have any future plans that you would like to share with the listeners?
Sure. So Bodyweight Exercise Revolution has been out for a couple months. It's co-authored with Ryan Murdoch, who is a faculty head coach with the Circular Strength Training System. And it's based on Coach Sonnen's 4x7 formula. So it's part of a series, actually, called the 4x7 Wave. Bodyweight Exercise Revolution was the first in that series. And we also have a volume based on club bells that is slated to come out later this year, and a third volume based on sports-specific programs. So that sports-specific one we're going to divide into, you know, big categories, like, for example, sliding sports. So that'll be, you know, skating, skiing, things like that. One of them might be field sports. And basically we're going to kind of divide it up into movement patterns and suggest how you can structure a 4x7 program to train those movement patterns for those different kinds of sports. The other thing I've been working hard on lately is my Ski Flow system, which is a whole system of fitness and physical preparation for skiers, which kind of grew from my frustration of all the myths and ridiculousness that I read about and hear about how skiers should train. So I was just fed up with that and decided, okay, I'm going to put my own thing out. It's based on circular strength training, based on my own experience of almost 20 years full-time in the industry, and it's going to bust the myths and give you a real solid base and system on how to train for skiing and get the most for the least out of your ski system, your ski season. Obviously, I'm going to try to continue providing good content on the blog and the newsletter. I just added a bunch of stuff to the newsletter sign-up package. I want to keep working on that. And then I have a few small surprises up my sleeve that I'm working on that I got to run by everybody else in the faculty first before I decide whether I can do any of this stuff or not. But I got some really good ideas up my sleeve, so you can watch out for those as well.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, again, thank you so much for doing this interview. I can't believe that you were nervous going into this, because everything you shared was, you know, just a wealth of, you know, great information.
You so, don't have to tell people that I was nervous, John.
You told them. All right. Well, it was great talking with you, Adam.
You too, John. Anytime. And when you're ready to talk about the bodyweight stuff, give me a call.
Oh, definitely will do.
Cool.
All right.
All right,
bye.
Thanks, John.